I offer my most respectful obeisances to my dear godmother, His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj, and my god sister, Mother Irmila, who I've had the good fortune to meet today in this holy place of New Varshana Dhamma, and to all the other devotees as well. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayedaja Patitanam Bhavaneyo. This evening we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, a classic verse, chapter 4, text number 8. Ritvanaya sadunam, vinashaya chaduskritam, dharma samstapanarthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. Translation: to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Purport: according to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, he's to be understood as sadhu. And duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or duskritam, are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravan and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. Translation: to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. This is a very well-known, often quoted, and very popular verse from the Bhagavad Gita. In this particular verse from the fourth canto, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, the Lord explains in detail his appearance here in the material world. Actually, it's quite amazing to think that the Lord would come to this material existence, which he describes as Dukulayam Ashashvatam, a temporary place full of suffering. This is sum and summary of material life. Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that elegance is truth spoken concisely. The Lord speaks very truthfully and concisely. Dukulayam Ashashvatam. But Krishna's Akila Rasamrita Murti, he's the enjoyer of all types of transcendental loving relationships. Why would he come here? There's that saying It's not Sanskrit. What is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? So he's Purushottam. Purushottam means he's the best amongst mankind. And now you have to say humankind. He's not Purushottam, he's Purushottam. He's the best. So what is the best person doing in a very bad place like this? One time Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers, I never wanted to come to this nasty place. But Krishna requested me to come. And Chanaka Pandit in his Niti Shastra, he says that an intelligent person when planning a journey should not go to a place where there's no flowing river, clean water, where you can bathe and wash your clothes, and cook your prasad. You shouldn't go to a place where there's not a qualified doctor, physician. You may get sick on your journey and never come back. Don't go to a place where there's not a pious king, a stable government. And he says, don't go to a place where people are inimical towards you. And frankly speaking, to greater or lesser degree, everyone in this world is inimical towards God. Even Brahma. Not our Brahma. Our Brahma is Adi Guru. He is the first person in the disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. This knowledge of Krishna consciousness has come down through the disciplic succession, and saintly kings understood it in that way. So who is the first person? Well, first person is Krishna, but Krishna spoke in this universe to Brahma. So our Brahma, he's devotee, but Brahma's not always devotee. It's not that Brahma is always devotee. No, he's not always devotee. Sometimes he's not devotee. He's the most pious, but even if you're pious, you're not transcendental. There's a difference between Sudha and Sudhasattva. Sudhasattva means pure goodness. So anyone who's in Durga Dham, anyone who's in the prison house of material existence, be he class A, B, C prisoner, he's prisoner. And he's here because he acted or inimically towards the Lord. So everyone here is, to greater or lesser degrees, not Krishna conscious. People here have little affection for God. One devotee said to Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, you have so much love for Krishna. Mahaprabhu, he lowered his head. He said, if I had any love for Krishna, I wouldn't be here. So no one can be proud in this world. It's all a fallen condition. Actually, I was told that in the Chinese language, there's no word for God. I often wonder how my godbrothers and godsisters preach there. Today, we'd like to speak about... Any questions? But out of compassion, Krishna comes. And that compassion is manifested in three ways. Paritranaya sadhunam, that he comes to deliver the pious. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur means, this, he explains this doesn't mean like material piety. It's like actually meaning devotional, devotees, sadhus. This, Paritranaya sadhunam, not humanitarianam, not Mr. Bill Gatesam. He gives lots of money away in charity. Krishna doesn't come to deliver him because he gives lots of money to cure malaria in Africa. No. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains it's this sadhunam means devotees of the Lord who are always longing to be reunited with their beloved Krishna. Because of their yearning, because of their calling out to him, he comes. That's what chanting means. Chanting is not something mechanical. It's a question of the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Just like we have little Sangeeta here. So I say, Sangeeta, come here. Sangeeta, come here. Sangeeta. I say, Sangeeta, come here, quickly. Oh, then she'll come. So when you chant, it's from the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. My dear Lord, my dear consort of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, please re-establish me in your eternal devotional service. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please, Hare Krishna, just take me out of this ocean of death. Fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. So when there's that appeal from the heart of the Vaishnava, Krishna responds. When he comes to deliver, even if there's only one devotee, he'll come. It's like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said. I will consider my whole mission, Gaudiya Math mission, to be a success if I can just make one pure devotee of the Lord. So Lord is also thinking like that. The nature of love. There is an incarnation who came for only one little boy. Narsingh Bhagavan. He came to deliver one little boy, not one ordinary little boy. He's Mahajan. He's one of the 12 authorities in the science of Krishna consciousness. But he came, Krishna came, as Narsingha. He delivered him from imminent death at the hands of his father, the tyrant, cruel, mean Hiranyakashipu. He killed that demon. He was also very kind to him. He gave him liberation. And then Prahlad was established on the throne. And Nrisimhadev went back to Vaikuntha. One devotee. Even if one devotee has that longing, has that yearning, has that bhakti, Krishna will reciprocate. So, Vinashaya to Duskritam, he also comes to kill the demons, and he also Dharma Shamsta Panartaya, he comes to re-establish religion by speaking Gita. Now if you were listening carefully to the purport, Prabhupada said the main reason he comes is for the devotees. Because the other things, it's not so hard for Lord to kill the demons. He just creates a plague or one hurricane or one cyclone or earthquake. It all comes tumbling down. No problem. To reestablish Dharma, again, eloquence is truth spoken concisely. The whole essence of Vedas is here in Bhagavad Gita. If you were shipwrecked and you were living alone on an island for the rest of your life, what chance is there for me to become Krishna? Just, if you had Gita, no problem. Oruski. If there's one book, and if you have your mala, no problem. The essence is here. And how long did it take Krishna to establish Dharma? About 1 hour and 10 minutes. That's how long it takes to read Bhagavad Gita if you're a fast reader. You don't read the purports, but you should read the purports. So actually, the real Prabhupada points out the real reason he comes is out of affection to deliver his devotees. And even that, he doesn't have to come personally. He can send his representatives. But he loves his devotees, so sometimes he comes. And he personally delivers him. This is how nice Krishna is. I read a report recently that the prime motivating factor in all interaction in human society is affection for family members. Everything's going on because of this intense affection for family, for wife and husband and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and you can, the whole world's going on. So Lord has his family as well. And although we may forget him, he never forgets us, and he comes. He doesn't forget us. It is said that an elephant and a woman never forget an offense. Quoting Shastra. So similarly, Lord, Krishna is very eager to see all of you. You are chanting so nicely. So Lord, he never forgets his any service rendered. Particularly Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, Gornitai, they're the worshipable deities of Kali Yuga. I mentioned the other day in a class that I wrote Prabhupada a letter and requested him that we could worship the deity in our Sankirtan van. He wrote back, no. You are too busy distributing my books, but you may worship a picture of Panchatattva and take it that that picture is deity. And he said the deities of Panchatattva, they are the deities of Kali Yuga. And they don't accept offenses, Gornitai. Not that we should abuse this principle, but they don't accept our offenses. They only accept our service. Therefore, before chanting Hare Krishna, because we want to go back to Golok Vrindavan, we first call upon the mercy of Gornitai. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama. And anyone who renders a little service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will be blessed. And what is the best service to render? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Chanting is also service, not that we stop our service to chant. No. Chanting is service. Shravanam, Kirtanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam. Atma, Nivedanam, nine processes. And this kirtan, if that's all you can do, no problem. Of course, it is a problem to do that all the time because of our material desires. But if you can come to the point of kirtaniyat sadahari, you can chant all day. And that is accepted as devotional service. And if you chant purely shuddhanam, then you're performing pure devotional service. And we see very often sadhus retire last portion of their life, and they go to the Dham and they just chant. It's not that they've decreased their service, it's not so important, no. That is the essence, to chant like that. And Lord will take notice, even if you chant unconsciously. It's so powerful, that service. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told us one time that Prabhupada told him that if someone just chants my name, chants Krishna's name, one time, even unconsciously, the Lord carries a little book with him. And he writes that person's name down in a book. And he follows that person life after life until he makes him into a devotee. How much is to be gained, then, by attentive chanting? Conscientious chanting. Offenseless chanting. That chanting takes you very quickly out of the material world and into the spiritual world. So these holy names are so powerful, that service. They're so powerful in delivering the devotees that they're also considered an incarnation. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoya Sharp Jagata Nishtar. Kaviraj Goswami says, in the age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord is the incarnation of the Lord. And by the holy name, he said, the whole universe is delivered. And as all incarnations are meant for the purpose of delivering the conditioned souls, this holy name is no exception. It is the sound incarnation of Krishna. Ete chamsa kalopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam Indriya Vyakalam Lokam Vidayute Juge Juge. That's the Paribhasha Sutra. It's the seed verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, from which the whole Bhagavatam blossoms and develops. All the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear in this material world whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra. Indra is a devotee, so enemy of Indra means non-devotee, means demon actually. So the incarnations come. And they're unlimited, like the waves on the ocean. If you go down and sit on your black beaches, you have black beaches here in New Zealand. All the devotees I've come with, they want to see the black beaches. We're going to go to a black beach. You sit there, you count the waves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I met one little boy, I forget his name. I said, can you count to 10? Oh no, it was that little Prahlad, the son of Sitapati and Mataji, your disciple Maharaj. That little Prahlad, he said to me, count to 10, I can count to 1,500. Okay. A sharp little boy. I didn't challenge him. I thought maybe it might be too much if he couldn't do it. I don't know. Okay. 1,500. I can get to 1,500. No problem. So there's unlimited incarnations, like the waves on the ocean. And one is the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And if this is the case, as Kaviraj Goswami has established authoritatively in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we should expect the holy names to accomplish the same purpose as the Lord is describing in this verse for any incarnation. In other words, those holy names should deliver devotees, kill demons, Hare Krishna, and reestablish religious principles. Do they? Well, they certainly deliver devotees. Don't you feel that you're being delivered by the mercy of the holy names? You're practicing, you're achieving devotional service. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one of the first symptoms that you're on the path of pure devotion is you feel a relief from the miseries of material existence. Have you felt any relief since you've been a devotee? Oh, much more. You sometimes feel that you're on the transcendental platform. Mam chayo vibhichayana bhakti yogina sevate sagunun samatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. That those who engage in the process of devotional service and don't deviate under any circumstances, they at once transcend the modes of nature and come to the level of Brahman. So if you're nicely engaged, you'll feel yourself becoming transcendental, at least in kirtan. Otherwise, how is it that we are all chanting and dancing and leaping and laughing and crying and we're so happy? Because we're there on the transcendental platform. So we're definitely, by chanting, we're being delivered. And how does the holy name annihilate the demons? Well, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who introduced this chanting as the Yuga Dharma, the process of this age, it kills the demoniac mentality. Mahaprabhu and his devotees and their mission and their process of chanting don't kill demons like in previous ages. On the request of Lord Nityananda. Or let us say he reminded him. When he was about to kill, Mahaprabhu was about to annihilate Jagai and Madhai for their offense of hitting Lord Nityananda on the head with a pot and causing his head to bleed. Mahaprabhu took a Sudarshan! Razor sharp. You see the picture of Shishupal's head coming off when Krishna threw it in the assembly. Lying in the air, the blood is sort of spirit soul is merging into the form. So Lord Nityananda, who's compassion personified, he's the commander in chief of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, which is a movement of mercy, a great compassion, making no distinction who's qualified and who's unqualified. Hey Lord, put that away. Put that weapon away. That was Dwapara Yuga. That was 4,500 years ago. This is Kali Yuga. You are an incarnation of mercy. Namo Maha Badanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Bhujase Namaha Rupa Goswami. You only come for one reason: to flood the world with love of God through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So on the advice of Nitai, he put away the Sudarsan, and he said, Jagai and Madhai, who were trembling in fear, do you promise to give up your sinful ways? Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. In military, we were taught, you know, to really make an impression upon your commanding officer. Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. And will you chant Hare Krishna? Oh, yes. So Mahaprabhu, he picked them up and he embraced them. And by embracing them, his golden form, because he was in the mood of Radha, coming to experience Radha's love for Krishna, so your internal mood is reflected by your external appearance. So Mahaprabhu's form was tapta kanchan, it was golden. But absorbing the sins of Jagai and Madhai, turned black like the night. All the devotees, oh, Gauranga, he's turned black. Mahaprabhu said, yes, anyone who offends my devotees, anyone who offends a devotee, if a devotee offends a devotee, I will give him these sins of Jagai and Madhai. Uvaga, we say in Polish. Be careful. So, in that way we can understand the Lord does not kill like in previous ages, but he kills the demoniac mentality. And how does he establish Dharma? He didn't, right? Lord Chaitanya only gave us 8 verses, Shikshastakam prayers. Well, how did he? He didn't write anything down. By following the process which he gave us, religious principles are, dharma is established. Because when you take to Krishna consciousness, you give up adharma, you give up sin, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, and you take up dharma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So he does these things, Lord. He saves the devotees. He annihilates the demoniac mentality, and he encourages religious principles. So therefore the holy name is certainly an incarnation, and we're very fortunate to have that association of directly, by the mercy of the spiritual master, of incarnation. Generally the common man, like you and me, we were common people, but nothing special about our birth in Christchurch, in Wellington, in Auckland, Brisbane, London. These are not... Prabhupada said people go to London to get educated, they go to Paris to enjoy, but for spiritual life they go to India. So nothing wonderful about our birth. But we were very fortunate. We got the association of the sound incarnation of the Lord. Generally, people don't get the association of an avatar of the Lord. Very difficult. You have to be very pious. You have to be Shuddha Shatva to get that. Chanaka Pandit says, you'll not find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You'll not find rubies in every mountain. You won't find sandalwood trees in every forest. You won't even find the association of a genuine sadhu in every birth. If you get the pearl, take it, because that pearl, you become korpati. If you get the pearl off the head of an elephant, they're very rare. You become billionaire. If you find rubies in the mountain, oh. If you find a forest of sandalwood, they're almost all gone now. And if you find sadhus, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, take shelter of their lotus feet, and your spiritual life is successful. Who gets the avatar? Who gets the association? That's even rarer. It's like Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, he wanted the association of an avatar. He wanted the association of Srila Vyasadeva, who is the literary incarnation of the Lord. Where does Srila Vyasadeva live? He lives very high in the Himalayan mountains. Prabhupada said he's still there. You want an association of an incarnation? You can go and you can walk very high in the Himalayan mountains and look for Srila Vyasadeva. He lives in Shamyaprasa or Bhadrik Ashram. You need to be a good hiker. It's 10,000 feet above sea level, Bhadrik Ashram. It's on the western bank of the Ganges Gangotri. There's the streams, the rivers that come there. And in that place, there's the beautiful temple of Bhadrik Ashram. It's between two mountains called Narayan Mountains. Shastra says those two personalities, Nara and Narayan, they appeared as those two mountain peaks. They're the incarnations of Narayan Rishi. And Madhvacharya heard that Srila Vyasadeva was living in that area near that temple. If you've ever been to that temple, there's two big pillars and they display the 10 incarnations of Vishnu. And just inside the gate, there's Garuda and there's two gatekeepers. Not Jai and Vijay, there's Ganesh and Hanuman. And on one altar, there's a Shalagram Shila given by Sripad Shankaracharya. He was there also. And the deity of Badri Narayan, he's worshipped there. And there's an eternal lamp in that temple that's burning since the beginning of creation. The temple is actually closed in the winter because no pilgrims can access it. So the Utsava deities, the smaller deities, they're taken to the lower Himalayas, and then articles of worship are placed there to worship the bigger deities because demigods come in the winter. No problem. They come and they worship the deities with the paraphernalia that's left there. So Madhvacharya wanted the association of this incarnation, Srila Vyasadeva, so he went with his disciples and he went to Bhadrik Ashram and he sat before the deities there for 48 days in contemplation and meditation. And suddenly a very effulgent form appeared to him and said, come, have darshan of Srila Vyasadeva. So he took off alone initially and he left a note to his disciples. If I don't come back, he said, just remember four things. There's no other holy place like Bhadrikasham to destroy one's karma or one's sins. There's no water which is equal to the Ganga. There's no deity equal to Vishnu. And there's no philosophy like ours. When I heard that, I thought of Prabhupada. No philosophy like ours. And he left a note, don't follow me. But Madhvacharya had one very devout, one very loyal disciple. His name was Satyatirtha. And he immediately took off and he followed his guru's footsteps. And Madhvacharya was passing through the mountainous area very easily because he's an incarnation of Vayu. So he was actually jumping from mountain peak, from glacier to glacier, from stone to stone, like this. And Satyatirtha couldn't keep up because he was running up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, crossing the rivers like this, like Vayu or Hanuman. And at one point he got lost and he called out to Madhva to save him. So Madhva, who's the incarnation of the wind god Vayu, he went like this. And that wind picked up Satyatirtha's disciple and blew him all the way back down to where he started. What happened to you? Oh, it's a long story. So eventually, the biographies of Madhvacharya, they describe that he arrived at a place beyond imagination. And there in the Himalayas, very high in the Himalayas, it was very sunny, it was very warm. There were lakes of lotus flowers, and there were swans, and there were yogis in meditation. And the yogis saw Madhva, and they said, "Who is this person who's come here? He has 32 auspicious markings. He has tilak, he has lotus eyes, moon-like face, long arms, and golden complexion." And one yogi said, "He would enhance the complexion of he would enhance the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. He shows no sign of fatigue. His face indicates he's fearless. He looks like Lord Brahma in the guise of a sannyasi. He looks like Mukhya Prana. He looks like Vayu." He's a very special person. So the sadhus were saying these things. And then he saw Srila Vyasadeva. And seeing Srila Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva called him forward. And the acharyas note that he was able to recognize Srila Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord, because he was wearing kastubhya jewel. How did he get kastubhya jewel? The acharyas say that once Brahma was sitting with Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva said very loudly, "I am ready to establish the supremacy of Lord Vishnu throughout the entire universe." And 1,000 sages took up his challenge and hurled questions at him. He answered them all perfectly, so Lord Brahma, who was astonished, loaned him the kastubhya jewel of Lord Vishnu. Anyway. So he had darshan of this literary incarnation. Look what he had to go through. Only he could do it. We could never go to the... It's hard even to get to Bhadrak Ashram. You stay there, it's freezing cold, and you run back down. But we're very fortunate. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we don't have to go very far. You just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And don't think for a moment it's not an incarnation. Mahaprabhu's also informed us. "My Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna, Govinda. You've invested all your transcendental energies in the sound of your holy name. You've made approach to you so easy by the sound of your holy name. But what is my problem? I can't afford a ticket to India to go to Bhadrak Ashram? No, I don't have enough attraction." But think about that next time, tomorrow, when you sit down to chant your japa. It's like you have, before you come to darshan, you prepare yourself at 7 o'clock, you're looking nicely, so Lord, and you prepare your consciousness in a mood of awe and reverence. "I'm going to see Radha Giridhari, and they're going to see me, oh, Govindam, Adipurusham, Tamaham." Oh, Kalasambhara has dressed the deity so nicely. So the same when we sit down, we shouldn't be lackadaisical. Okay, japa, take it. Oh, the same awe and reverence, the same mood, respect, the same contemplation should be there. And what is the effect of having that direct association of Krishna by His mercy? Rupa Goswami reveals that to us in Padyavali. "Now that we have become your devotees, my Lord, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival in our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear pretty to us." This is the effect of chanting Hare Krishna with fixed attention and devotion. As Satchinandan Swami so nicely puts it, the three P's, posture, sit properly, pronunciation, all the syllables, and prayer. Like Prabhupada told Bhakta Bob in Boston in 1969, he asked the question, what does it mean, Swamiji, Hare Krishna, repeating the same thing over and over? Prabhupada said, oh, it means, my friend, my friend, my friend. Yes. So we don't have to go to Bhadragashram. We can sit in the comfort of one's home and chant. Knowing this, who will not surrender to the holy names? And this amazing fact, we have to let the whole world know. Everyone is suffering for want of the simple truth. Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. Nowadays it's said, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. But that's not what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada originally said, chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. I like that quote better. I know maybe one day he said be happy, but the original quote, for me sublime, I don't know. It's like the nectar of happiness. Ananda. Chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, and your life will be sublime. When Nanda Kishore asked Prabhupada in New York at the arrival reception, New York Airport, 75, Prabhupada, it was a really deep question. What happens when somebody eats a Simply Wonderful? Somebody, what? Prabhupada said, their life will become simply wonderful. So what happens when you chant Hare Krishna? You should go out and tell the whole world. You stand on the street corner, you should go to the parliament, you should go to the parking lots with your books, you should have lots of festivals, and you should reveal the secret, as Rupa Goswami has in his Padyavali. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear. The glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamaraj's scribe, Chittagupta, becomes happy and gazes at the chanter's toenails with awe and reverence. And Lord Brahma prepares Madhuparka to worship that devotee. O Lord, what more can we say than this? Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srinam Prabhu ki. Sisirada Giridhari ki. Gopemanande. Devamrita Swami Maharaj ki. Jai. All of Maharaj's disciples ki. The army of saffron clad brahmacharis ki. Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna.